This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliette Goodrich.
Let's talk Bay Area housing. Is it cheaper to rent or buy? We looked into it. It's a question that a lot of first-time homeowners may ask themselves, and a sobering new report gives some clarity, at least at this point in time. The report from Bankrate looked at 50 metropolitan areas, and they found that the Bay Area had the biggest gaps between renting and buying. So in San Francisco, Oakland, and Berkeley area, renters pay about $3,500 a month. Compare that to an average mortgage payment of more than $8,500. A similar situation in the South Bay, where rent is about $3,200, but mortgage is $8,500. Bankrate says one of the reasons for this staggering gap is low housing inventory. California has been trying hard to build up its supply, but it's been a challenge. So one of the solutions, so-called backyard homes or accessory dwelling units. In recent years, state lawmakers have been removing a lot of that red tape to make it easier to build them and sell them. But in one community on the peninsula, contractors say they're meeting a lot of resistance when it comes to building ADUs. And as Kenny Choi shows us, it's coming from an unlikely source.
Building accessory dwelling units is becoming a steady source of income for general contractors like Tim Pond. But a new mandate in Monterra, adding tens of thousands of dollars to the price tag, isn't helping.
By the time they're, you know, I inform them of the costs up front, and people are often reluctant to even start the process.
The Monterra Water and Sanitary District now requires builders to install new water lines and meters for all ADUs, rather than connect them to the existing lines on a property.
It's just frustrating to me, especially since a lot of people are in need for these units, to have to tell them that they need to pay this amount of money and do this amount of unnecessary work.
Since policymakers established in 2016 a statewide set of rules for legalizing accessory dwelling units, the number of ADUs permitted each year in California increased by more than 15,000% between 2016 and 2022, resulting in nearly 85,000 ADUs permitted. Starting last year, Monterra residents trying to build ADUs have had to pull additional permits and pay other engineering fees in the thousands.
They want us to dig into the street, to the middle of the street, and install a pipe which roughly supplies 10 times the amount of water that we need for the ADU, install a new water main, and a new meter.
Pond says no other jurisdiction in the Bay Area requires this additional setup that is tacking on $15,000 to $20,000 to the cost of constructing an ADU. Luis Morante is Vice President of Public Policy on Housing for the nonprofit Bay Area Council.
There are just so many agencies in California that don't see solving the housing crisis as part of their mandate who are actively making it worse. And this is a good example of one of those situations.
The Monterra Water and Sanitary District declined multiple on-camera interview requests to explain why the new waterline and meter rules were put into place.
This is currently uncommon, I think, in the Bay Area, but it's a trend that I'm seeing, and it's a trend that concerns me.
Your feasibility depends on cost, and these costs increase, you know, overall to a point where it's just not worth it to build it.
Pond says there's growing demand to build more ADUs in the Bay Area, but getting rid of unnecessary red tape is paramount in making a bigger dent in the housing crisis.
State housing data shows that for every ADU completed in 2022, roughly three permits were submitted in the previous year. So that includes local cities and communities have not kept pace with demand in California. Now to the ongoing campus protests over the war in Gaza. San Francisco State University is the latest Bay Area school where tents have sprouted up. And it's not just students taking part. Our John Ramos heard from some faculty members who also showed up to support free speech.
Welcome everybody to the SF State Rally for Solidarity with Gaza.
The crowd of students jammed Malcolm X Plaza at the noontime rally. San Francisco State was about to become the latest American university to establish a live-in protest over the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. The student demands are now familiar. Divest from Israel's military, cut ties with its universities, and recognize the action in Gaza as genocide. And in the crowd was political science professor James Martell. He's part of a newly formed group called Faculty for Justice in Palestine, lending support to the student movement.
It's beautiful. I love seeing all the students and the faculty. We're all united. We've been organizing for a long time together.
On Sunday, the faculty group sent a letter to the administration requesting that they take no action to hamper the on-campus protests. They're asking that they refrain from dispatching police to student demonstrations, refrain from academic retaliation against students, and respect their right to protest on campus. Still, Professor Martell isn't convinced that things will stay peaceful.
No, the tradition at this university is to have cops come and destroy everything and arrest everyone. So if they keep up that tradition, we're in trouble. But I hope that doesn't happen.
That tradition dates back to 1968 when police engaged in a bloody clash with students protesting the school's treatment of people of color. The incident became a national embarrassment and led to reforms by the university, including the establishment of the nation's first College of Ethnic Studies. Another member of today's faculty group, Professor Omar Zaza, says he hopes it wouldn't happen again, although the images from campuses around the country do feel like what happened before.
In this specific moment, as we're seeing the examples of countless universities that have resorted to such blatant forms of repression, we felt essentially better safe than sorry, come together proactively and say, we are asking this not happen and we're here to support.
When the rally ended, the protesters began assembling their tents, surrounded by a protective line of students standing hand in hand. They seem convinced that there will be an effort to force the students out. Professor Martell said he'd like to believe that it won't happen.
But I think it's nonetheless kind of part of the tradition of how the left gets dealt with, is to bring in the cops.
College campuses have always been a crucible for social change. The question for San Francisco State is whether it will be a place where history is learned or simply repeated.
And the student union at San Francisco State also supporting the protests, giving free advice to demonstrators in case they do get into trouble. So Ann Makovic has more on that part of the story.
Yeah, they are supporting the demonstration. This is all published on the student union's Instagram page. The post says that given the increased attention right now on student protests, they want to make sure that students' rights are being protected. So they have a link to a downloadable version of their flyer to hand out at demonstrations. And among the tips, don't bring any identifying information like business cards or photos of your loved ones. And if you don't need your phone, leave it at home. They say you should bring a face mask or a gas mask and don't wear contact lenses, presumably in case the authorities deploy tear gas. They recommend hiding tattoos, piercings, colored hair, and scars. And the group gives advice on what to say if police are trying to arrest you and what to do if you end up in jail, including avoiding leaving any of your DNA on something that could later be swabbed. It also gives out local numbers for your local lawyers and the ACLU. Now, I contacted the Associated Students Organization to try to talk more about their advice, but never heard back. And I should mention they also posted a series of de-escalation tactics, like staying away from an agitated person and trying to find common ground.
Yeah, that's the key, common ground. If we can have these set of rules, hopefully we'll be peaceful as well. But a lot of people are joining the movement now. I'm even hearing that parents are going to start joining in and supporting their college students. So
yeah. And as the war goes on, you don't really see these things wrapping up. You could only see them intensifying, but we'll continue to watch it.
Yeah, appreciate that, Anne. Thank you. All right, and over the weekend, anti-war protesters also set up an encampment at Sonoma State University. Right now, it's made up of about 20 tents, and so far, everything seems peaceful. The school released a statement saying their main concern is keeping all students and staff safe. And that is in addition to the growing protests at UC Berkeley and also Stanford. At Berkeley, one protester told us they are prepared to stay through the summer as long as it takes for the school to meet their demands.